Don't they give you breakfast at home anymore?
David, I came downtown early. Kat's staying home, so I'm closing the office for the day.
I get a half a day off.
Oh, David, I'm sorry. This is the day I go into the city about that job.
Oh, is it? Kate Higgins-Wakefield versus big business.
Well, I don't know how big it is. Probably emptying waste baskets.
Oh, I don't think friend Tony would set that up for you.
He hasn't set it up. There was an opening, and he mentioned my name. I've got to do the rest.
Sure, sure. When are you coming back?
Well, Nancy's going in with me today. And I'm going to spend the night with her at the studio club she stayed in this summer.
I suppose you two girls will be taking in a campus lecture or a movie together tonight?
I don't know yet.
I do. Now, Kate, maybe you have to get this city job thing out of your system, but don't go in blindfolded. Why do you think Nancy's hot to live in the city?
She says it's where the action is.
Sure, and so is the boyfriend, maybe.
Do you know that, David?
I'm a newspaper guy. My business is figuring the angles. And while we're at it, why do you think your friend Cushing has set up an appointment for you in town to let it go at that?
I have no date with Tony. I'm taking the noon train. I'm seeing Mr. Al Ross at 3. I have his address. And then I'm meeting Nancy.
Okay, have it your way. Maybe you've got to get your feet wet. But don't go in trusting everybody, Kate. Not even little Nancy.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are Faces of Love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by the Ocedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Ocedar Angler Broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Ocedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Ocedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Ocedar makes your life easier.
Hi, Isabel. I'm ready.
Good. I'll drive you to the station.
Thanks.
You'll be a little early, but I have to go on to the garden club meeting.
Well, I'm meeting Nancy anyhow. You know I'm staying in the city with her. You'll be all right here alone, won't you, Isabel?
Kate, I grew up in this house.
You look very nice, my dear.
Nice or chic? Be honest. You could be very smart. You got the figure and the flair. You just have to develop a little clothes sense, that's all.
Like what?
Well, darling, take off that little string of pearls and tie a scarf around your throat.
Well, I don't have one to go with this dress.
Get one in the city. I'd say shades of rust and black.
Anything else?
Yes.
What?
A touch of eyeshadow, maybe?
Oh, I feel as if I'm going off on a real adventure.
Well, always dress as if you are.
Isabel, You're the one person who doesn't seem to disapprove of what I'm doing.
I don't know what you're doing yet. But I do know that if I had listened to everybody else, I'd have lived my whole life right here in Belhaven.
I can't imagine you living your whole life in anyone's place.
That's what the whole family wanted. It took a world war to get me out.
Oh.
I joined a Red Cross unit, and when I got to France, I met Robert.
And I never came back.
Was he The first man you ever fell in love with?
Oh, my dear girl, I thought I was in and out of love ever since I was 14. Doesn't every girl?
Well, I didn't.
Well,
I didn't have many boyfriends. When I met Tom, that was it.
Well, you were a couple of kids.
Well, I was 19. He was 21. We were in love.
You knew?
Of course we knew. Everything was so right. So close. Oh, so shining and beautiful. I guess it couldn't last.
Well, there were reasons, Kate. Outside of both of you.
It wasn't outside at all. I can say it to you, Isabel, because you know. Tom was on drugs before I married him, though I didn't know it.
Hmm.
That was inside of him. Nothing could change that.
Well, this is not the day to think about that.
Do you think there's a day I don't? That's why I don't think I could ever really fall in love again. I don't want to. I don't want to be vulnerable.
Perhaps not. Sometimes being hurt is better than feeling nothing. Well, here's the station. I don't see Nancy.
Oh, she'll be here. David thinks she has a boyfriend in the city.
Ah.
Just as he thinks I'm going into town for a date with Tony Cushing.
Aren't you?
I don't even have any plans to see him.
Hmm. You find him attractive?
Well, I guess everybody does, don't you?
Hmm. Of his type, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know he was a type. You sound like Joy.
Kate, my dear, listen to me. Go in today. Have a good time. Trust yourself.
David said don't trust anybody.
Never mind David, or Nancy, or Joy, or any of us. Believe in what you are, what you want. You'll find out soon enough what you can do.
Even if I'm scared.
Try it. Oh, my dear, I envy your chance and your youth.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm your teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair. The programs of the Radio Playhouse are a new service of this station and the Bristol-Myers Company. New in that daytime radio drama has not been on the air in many years, but also a new listening experience for you in that you are an important part of our programs. Your imagination plays a large part in picturing the characters and setting of our stories. We hope you're enjoying the programs and using your imagination. We'd like to hear from you. Imagine that. Write us at Faces of Love, 345 Park Avenue, New York, New York, 10022, or your local station.
Honey, rumor has it the boss wants to see me.
He's been asking for you all morning, Mr. Cushing.
That is not good. Yes, sir, Mr. Fletcher, boss.
Come in, Tony. Don't call me boss.
Yes, sir, chief.
And close the door.
It's going to be a long session?
That depends on you, Tony.
Well, I can answer yes or no. They're both quick.
There's only one answer I want from you, and that's yes.
You've got it.
You know, someday your casualness is going to get you into trouble.
Not as long as I've got those Greeks in Paris eating out of my hand.
That's just it. What's holding you back?
Me?
You told me you'd be back in Paris in a couple of weeks. You're dragging it, Tony.
You want us to look anxious?
I want those contracts signed.
Okay, okay. How about a week from Thursday?
I want you to leave for Paris tonight.
No way.
Why not?
Too many loose ends.
Clear them up. That's an order, Tony. And while we're on the subject of loose ends, what's Al Ross on my phone?
Oh, Al Ross, right. He wants to talk to you about some property he's interested in the islands, Jamaica, I think. I told him you're an expert.
I see no reason for giving my time to Al Ross.
5 minutes would make the guy very happy. He's doing me a little favor. Nobody does favors for free. You ought to know that. I thought, with my interest at stake, you might be obliging.
What interest?
Well, it's personal.
A girl.
You guess everything, Hugh. With that small matter settled, I could take off for Paris, say, Saturday.
You know, if you weren't so smart, Tony, I'd throw you...
Now, where else would you find such corporate loyalty?
Yes, Mr. Fletcher.
Mrs. Marks, book Mr. Cushing on a Paris plane.
Sunday.
Tomorrow night.
What'll I tell Ross?
I'll give him 3 minutes Tuesday at 4. By that time, I should have your cable confirming the contract.
See? Just a little good nature and the wheels of business turn again.
Train coming. Step back from the track, lady.
Oh, David, where on earth did you come from?
From my office.
Oh, you know Nancy isn't here yet.
Oh, she'll make it. Don't worry.
Well, I can't wait.
Don't. Kate, I want to say one thing to you.
What?
I'm sorry that I gave you a hard time this morning about the city job.
It's okay.
Yeah, I get uptight about you sometimes, and, well, it's a pretty big city down there.
I'm a big girl, David.
I hope so. If Nancy doesn't show, will you still stay in?
Well, I'd go up to her studio club. She might make the next turn.
Okay. Here's a little present to wish you.
Oh, her. David, how sweet. You'd think I was going away forever.
That'd be up to you. Bye, Kate. I'll see you.
Oh, there's Nancy now. Nancy, hurry! Hurry! Oh, look at her. Joy is still talking.
Hold it, conductor. We've got one stray.
Nancy! Oh, David, I'll take her back. Here, Nancy. Bye, David, and thanks.
Bye, Kate.
Love features Joan Loring as Kate, Nat Polan as Tony, Mason Adams as David. Also appearing were Joan Copeland and Allison Argo. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Margaret LaWorth. And brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen.
Me.
And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Ah, good day, ladies. Has this author of Vanity Fair strained your patience? Ha ha. But it is the task and duty of a writer to do just that. If reader or listener knows full well what next will come, he will go elsewhere for entertainment. Now, let us gather up the threads of our story. I've led you to believe that Joseph Sedley would marry Becky Sharp. He sent instead a craven note saying he was departing London for Scotland and thence off to India. But an hour later arrives a second note. Becky has been confiding in Joseph's father when Mrs. Sedley trudges up the stairs and hands her the note.
No name on the order, but the messenger said
He said, for Miss Shaw.
Good gad. Joseph changed his mind.
Oh.
Open it, Ducky. Open it.
Mrs. said, I think we should leave Becky alone with this latest, whatever it may be from your son.
Must we?
We must. Come along. Becky, my dear, come down to us when it pleases you.
Thank you. Yes, I shall.
Changed his mind. Oh, well, I'll not change mine. He can beg on his knees, though he's too fat to get up once down, but I won't. Oh, read it, Becky.
No,
I had to come. I had to know.
Oh, Emmy, come quickly. Hurry.
Joseph's coming back. I knew. You'll be my sister-in-law. Oh, thank heaven.
Here, read the note, Emmy. Read it and see then if heaven is to be thanked.
But it isn't in Joseph's writing.
No.
Not from him.
No.
Oh, who then?
Read it.
I can't decipher it.
I know. Bad writing, worse spelling.
Oh, Becky, don't tease. Who is it from?
Sir Pitt Crawley.
Where you will be governor?
Yes.
He has changed his mind. Oh, what a blessing. Now you'll not have to go to the country. We'll find a situation for you in London.
Emmy.
We'll not be separated. We'll see each other all. Oh, Becky, what is it? You've the queerest look.
And well, I might have. Give me the note. I can read it.
If it's more bad news, I can't bear it.
We shall both bear it. Listen. Sir Pitt Crawley in London for business. Begs Miss Sharp and Baggins will be here at 12 Great Gaunt Street on Friday. We leave for Queen's Crawley next morning early.
Tomorrow, and today is Friday.
So, my visit here is ended.
But you were to stay another whole week.
Ah, Sir Pitt is my employer, and I must obey.
I said I couldn't bear it, and I can't.
Oh, dearest, Emmy, don't take on. After what happened today, it's better I take my departure.
No.
Yes. Oh, come. Let's go downstairs and tell this news to your mama and papa.
I must say, I think Sir Pitt might have had the decency to give some warning.
Indeed, he should have.
It's no matter. It's as I told Emmy.
Where is my lamb?
Oh, she stayed upstairs. I fear to cry her eyes out.
I shall go to her. No, I shall stay here.
Make up your mind, Mrs. Said.
Yes, I shall stay.
The note? Who could have written it?
Why, Sir Pitt. Fancy a letter written by a baronet.
Quiet, Mrs. Said. Sir Pitt, I shall think, Becky.
Oh, no, he couldn't have. The ignorant spelling. Look at it. Baggage. BAGGIDGE. Oh, dear. Early. ERLY. And more.
My dear young lady, Sir Pitt Crawley didn't attend Miss Pinkerton's academy.
How can you say such a foolish thing? It's a school for girls, Mr. Pitt. He isn't.
Becky, it's doubtful Sir Pitt went anywhere to school.
But he had tutors.
Well, he may or not.
A baronet who can't spell?
Child, it's clear you know nothing of England's nobility. Why need they spell when others will do it for them when need be?
Oh.
Men in trade, merchants, the likes of me, they must need spell and add figures. And know a good deal more than baronets if they're to make their fortunes. I've no doubt when you take up residence at Queen's Crawley, among your duties will be to write respectable letters in a graceful hand instead of Sir Pitt's crawl and Sir Pitt's bad spelling.
Sir Pitt's name is one of the most respected in the court guide. His honorable name...
If you please, Mrs. Seb. Your passion for nobility and royalty is not of consequence here.
Oh, please, sir. I'd like to know more about the family.
Very well, Mrs. Said, trot it out. You know by heart every noble family tree in the realm.
Sir Pitt Crawley was the son of Walpole Crawley, first baronet of the Tape and Sealing Wax Office in the reign of George the
Second.
Walpole Crawley was the son of John Churchill Crawley, named after... Dear, but I need it. It's all gone out of my head.
What a pity.
Do you both know Sir Pitt?
No.
Oh, I've recollected something. Sir Pitt was first married to Grizel, sixth daughter of Lord Mungo Binkie. He has two grown sons, Pitt the younger and Rawdon.
I believe I heard both are unmarried.
Ah, Becky.
After her ladyship died of... But I believe she died of... Oh, I can't recall. Well, many years after her demise, Sir Pitt led to the altar the daughter of Mr. G. Grafton of Medbury, married outside the nobility.
Oh, by that marriage, he must have had the two little girls who will be my pupils at Queen's Crawley. Why is it called Queen's Crawley?
Blessed if I know.
I know.
Go ahead, go ahead.
The country estate is called Queen's Crawley because it was so exciting.
Damn me, you sound like ghosts, and I don't care to be reminded of ghosts. Thank you very much.
Queen Elizabeth, good Queen Bess, stopped at Queen's Crawley for breakfast on her way to... Oh, of course, it wasn't Queen's Crawley then. They called it that after breakfast.
That's sufficient, Mrs. Sedd. So you see, Miss Becky, you're to live in a fine mansion named after a queen.
Oh, and the townhouse where I go today. Tell me about that, Mrs. Sedd.
12 Great Gaunt Street, the note said. I don't know about it. Not a single thing. I'm so sorry. I must find out.
And I must go upstairs and pack my trunk. What on earth have you been doing? What is this great pile of things on the bed?
Dear Becky, I've ransacked all my cupboards and drawers and reticules and closets and boxes and all that's on the bed is for you. Oh, frocks, gowns, fichus, laces, silks, stockings, oh, bonnets, brooches, necklaces, oh, Emmy, I will never again have such a friend as you.
And Rebecca is right about that. Tomorrow, my faithful listeners, Sir Pitt Crawley. And I am your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
To you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life, brought to you by Daytro, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra Rich Cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches.
but I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Datril. I compared labels. Datril has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Datril can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Datril, new from Bristol-Myers.
It's 11 o'clock. Where have you been? I got undressed, got into bed, read for a while, then realized you weren't anywhere in the house.
I went over to Mrs. Waldron's to see about her canary.
Again? You have spent more time running back and forth looking after that scraggly bird than ever.
I think it's dead.
What?
I am so upset, it just makes me sick. I don't know what I could have done wrong. I always go over there in the morning to talk to it, and then in the afternoon, and then the evening to put the cover over the cage. I am just sick of it, honey, whatever's happened,
you can't blame yourself.
Well, I do. You see, I missed going over there this afternoon. I had bridge club, and I just didn't go. Now, the canary was all right this morning. I changed the paper, fresh water, fed it, you know, talked to it. Left the radio on low so it would have music. I mean, I have followed Mrs. Waldron's instructions. Well, I'm just so upset. I think he's dead.
Well, what do you mean, you think he's dead?
He looks it. He's lying on his little back with his little feet up in the air like this.
Oh.
Would you come over with me and look at him?
Now?
Yes.
Well, I'm all undressed. I'm in bed.
Well, can't you throw a bathrobe on and drive over with me? It's only 5 blocks.
Oh, come on. Look, honey,
I cannot go to sleep until I know for sure. Maybe he's just sick. Maybe I should call the vet and rush the canary over there.
Well, did he move at all?
I don't think so. I talked to him, but... You know, talking to a canary even when he's sitting on his perch. You know, you don't really get anywhere. It's not like a cat or a dog. I can't tell whether a canary's listening to me or not.
If he's lying on his back with his feet up in the air, I'd say the chances are 1,000,000 to 1 that he's dead.
Will you please drive over there with me and look at him?
Well, I don't know anything about canaries, dead or alive.
I'd like to have some opinion besides mine. Please, will you come with me?
Well, why didn't you just pick up the cage and bring him back here with you?
I don't know. I was just too upset. Alone in that big house and the canary upside down. Please, all right.
Come on. If Mrs. Waldron is so crazy about that canary, she ought to stay home and look after him herself.
Here's your bathrobe.
You're too soft-hearted. People are always asking you to look after their pets. If just once you would say no...
Come on, never mind all that. I feel so awful and I'm so... That's the way he looked when I got here. He certainly hasn't moved.
Turn on that other lamp. He sure looks dead to me.
Well, what am I going to tell Mrs. Waldron? I'll have to phone her. She's visiting her daughter in Arizona. Oh, she just adored her little bluebird.
Bluebird? This is a canary.
I know. She said he was her little bluebird of happiness or something. I don't know. She called him Bluebird.
Uh-huh. All right, let's take him out of the cage. Where does it open?
Right here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, poor little thing. I was here this morning. I just missed this one afternoon.
Now stop fussing so. Whatever happened is not your fault.
I've looked after him before, so he knew me, and I even told him this morning. I said I might not be back until evening, because I had bridge club this afternoon.
The canary did not die because you missed seeing him this afternoon.
Oh, I hope not. You sure he's dead? You can't feel any heartbeat or anything?
How do you feel a canary's heartbeat?
Well, I looked to see if he was breathing, if his little chest was going up and down, but I couldn't tell.
Honey, the bird is dead. He's cold.
Oh, I just don't know what to do.
There isn't anything you can do.
You don't know how crazy Mrs. Waldron was about him. She said I was the only person she would have left him with. She trusted me.
Let's get back to our house and get to bed. Give me a piece of that newspaper over there. We'll wrap the bird up and we'll...
And what?
Well, dispose of the remains.
Where?
I'll take care of it. You stop worrying.
You're not going to just throw him out and... Garbage or something. What were you planning?
Well, I hadn't planned anything except getting to bed at a decent hour tonight, and here I am in my pajamas 5 blocks from home.
I will have to phone Mrs. Waldron and find out what kind of arrangements she wants to make.
Arrangements?
Sue Birdie was her pet, dear. I'd better phone her right now and get it over with. Oh, how I hate to tell her.
Will you please call her? I'd like to get home and get some sleep tonight. Will you call her now?
Yes,
pick up the phone.
Yes. Oh, goodness. I'm just so upset, I just don't know how to tell her. I mean, I really have looked after that operator. I want to make a long-distance call to Arizona. Yes, and I'm just so sorry. Well, when your mother gets in tonight, Mrs. Lansing, you tell her that I called. Well, certainly we will. By the lilac bush. Well, we'll take care of it, and if your mother wants to phone, I'll explain everything to her. All right. Goodbye. Really?
What's the matter? You sound kind of put out.
Oh, put out is hardly the word. Mrs. Waldron is over at some nephew's house. That was her daughter I talked to, and she was so nasty. Really unpleasant, as though it were all my fault the canary died.
Never fails. That's the thanks you get for being nice.
She said, well, I certainly hope that you'll see that Mother's boo-birdie gets a nice, decent funeral. And I said...
Funeral?
Well, yes. I didn't like Mrs. Waldron so much, I think I'd have hung up on her daughter. Well, for Mrs. Waldron's sake, we'd better get at it, I guess.
Get at what?
The funeral. Now, look for a spade in her garage out there.
Come on.
Find a spade, will you, and dig a hole by the lilac bush. It's right in front there by the front door. I'll go home and find a little box of some kind.
But it's nearly midnight.
I know, so let's hurry. I don't want to come back over here tomorrow and go through this all by myself. Now, dig a hole by the lilac bush. I'll be right back.
I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Come on, hurry up. I've seen a police car go past here twice. I do not want some cop asking me what I'm doing in Mrs. Waldron's front yard at midnight in my pajamas.
Oh.
I do not want to tell him we're holding services for a canary. I just do not honestly think he'd believe it.
Just a minute now. I found this little piece of red velvet to put in a cigar box. Doesn't the little yellow bird look lovely against the red velvet?
What cigar box is that? You didn't just dump my new cigars out of the box, did you?
It was the first thing I saw.
The cigars will get all dried out.
It's more important, your cigars or poor little canary.
Well, frankly, my cigars.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, come on.
There, all right, there. There it is. Cover it up with the dirt. Do you think we ought to, say anything?
What I could say right now, I don't think would be suitable for the occasion.
Couldn't you try to be a little nicer? Remember when we had to bury Brownie, how terrible we felt? We loved him so.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. Well, here we are. Sleep tight, little bird. Sleep tight.
But I do have to tell Mrs. Waldron that you had, a really nice funeral and describe it to her. Why don't we say the 23rd Psalm? Please, will you quit looking around for the police car? No. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the waters. For goodness sakes, why don't you go to sleep?
I can't sleep now, I'm so wide awake. It doesn't bother you at all, does it, that we had to explain to that cop what we were doing? I knew he'd show up. I just knew it. I'd see him go past twice.
Well, honey, he was very nice after I explained. His wife has parakeets.
Will you do me a favor, please? The next time some friend or neighbor asks you to look after a dog or a cat or whatever...
Well, the Fraleys have looked after our pets when we've been away.
I know, but every time we've had someone's pet, something has happened. The Gordon's rabbit got sick. We sat up all night with a McAllister's cat.
Oh, honey, you pretend to be so hard-hearted. Why, you brought the Wilson's dog to bed with us. Remember that?
Yeah, he was so homesick.
Oh, I know. Little puppy, too. Well, it's nearly 1 o'clock. You better try and sleep anyhow, dear.
Yeah. Okay. Good night, honey.
Good night, darling. I'll get the light. Oh, that must be Mrs. Waldron calling. I'll get it.
At this hour?
Well, Arizona, she probably forgot the time change. Hello? Oh, yes. Oh, Mrs. Waller, I just can't tell you how awful I felt about it.
Hey, don't talk forever now.
Yes,
I'm trying to sleep.
Hmm? Well, that's very nice of you, Mrs. Waller, and I really did look after him. Well, thank you. Yes, we did, and it was lovely. It really... No. Oh, really? Did he? Oh, wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful, Mrs. Waldron.
What's so wonderful?
Oh, yes. Just to say Mrs. Waldron's son-in-law felt so badly about the canary that he's giving her one of his new puppies to bring home.
Mark my words. Just mark my words. You'll get that dog to look after, too.
I will. I'll write you a letter and tell you all about it. Under the lilac bush. Yes. Well, tell me what kind of a dog is your new puppy, Mrs. Waldron.
I'll tell you what it is. With my luck, I bet it's a St. Bernard.
Oh, a St. Bernard, Mrs. Waldron. Oh, they're just darling.
I knew it. I'm getting psychic. Somehow I just know these...
Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from 2 personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Dr. Carter. Oh, yes, yes, of course I want to see Dr. Foster. Come in, Marsh.
You sure it's not a bad time?
Well, that all depends on what you have to tell me.
Well, I wish I had something to tell you.
All inconclusive?
So far, yes.
Marsh, inconclusive or negative?
Well, that always depends on what the final diagnosis is. You know, when you get that, you can go back and see where the pieces fit, and the whole thing then becomes negative or positive.
Wow, a great description of a diagnostician, I must say.
Oh, please, don't quote me.
Yeah, I wish there was some way you guys could do a workup on a patient without scaring him or her half to death.
You've never complained about my style before.
Well, it's the first time for Emily, a complete neurological.
You know, doctors really aren't very professional where their families are concerned.
Yes, I know. I stopped in to see her this morning, Martian. She was really going up the wall, anticipating the angiogram.
Believe me, we haven't done anything her symptoms don't call for.
Well, I should hope not.
It still could be migraine.
You really think so, Marsh? Numbness? Irrationality?
Well, it's possible.
Yeah. Oh, say, what time is it?
11.
Oh, boy, I've got to get the paperwork straightened out before 12. I'm doing Cleveland late this afternoon.
Jason, you know, it's a bad time for you to go.
Yes, I know. This meeting was scheduled before Emily was admitted, and I can't get out of it.
When will you be back?
Oh, I take the midnight plane.
Mm-hmm. Your service will know where to reach you?
Why, are you keeping anything for me, Marsh? So help me.
No, of course I'm not. It's just that we're probably going to have to do a lumbar puncture, and I'm trying to figure out whether it's better to have you on the scene or off.
You've got to do a lumbar?
Well, That's the way it looks from here.
Well, I forbid it.
Jason, you put me in charge of this diagnosis. Don't handcuff
Marsh,
me.
Marsh, it's too soon to consider a lumbar puncture. You haven't done the angiogram.
Now,
yet.
Since when has it been your practice to tell me what to do for my patient?
Well, this patient is my wife.
Oh, Jason, please. Look, you know she's getting our very best. Not just because she's your wife, but because she's a woman in pain who needs all the help we can give her.
Yes, I know. She's always been so strong.
Of course. She had to be to put up with you.
Well, she's been wonderful.
I know. I've noticed that. In fact, they're both remarkable.
Oh, yes. Angela, too. I don't know how we'd manage as a family without her help. Sometimes I think we expect too much from her.
And Jennifer said, will you tell Mommy I expect her to be all rested up when she comes home?
Well, a hospital stay does not a vacation make.
Was it a bad night, Emily?
As nights go, Angela, frankly, it was a stinker. The only thing good about it was that I know I wouldn't have to eat breakfast.
You're having the angiogram, then.
If you say so. This is your territory.
Oh, come on. It'll soon be over. Here, let me fix your pillows.
Thank you. I guess I should be impressed.
Oh, tell me why.
Such lovely service by Jefferson's head nurse.
Oh, come on.
Well, I see you're in the best of hands.
Well, Dr. Husband, this is your second call this morning.
Hi.
Not very professional treatment, but I like it.
Look, I'm going to run along. I've got to get some things straightened out before I leave the floor this afternoon.
How are you and Susan making out?
Oh, fairly well. She lets me do the luncheon dishes, and I let her go off and play tennis. Bye.
Bye-bye. Does this second call have any significance? Or was it just because you missed me?
Oh, a little of both. How are you feeling, darling?
Fine. When I don't move too fast.
Listen, I have to go out of town this afternoon.
Oh, no.
Well, darling, I'll be back tonight. And I promise to stop in to see you, no matter how late.
No. Don't do that.
What?
I'll probably be asleep and... You've had too many long, long days, I know.
Marcia's taking good care of you.
You make me sound like fine china.
You're not that breakable, darling.
I've been feeling awfully fragile lately.
The kids miss you.
Maybe they'd better get used to it.
Now, what do you mean? Darling, you're going to be home in no time.
Susie, move over. There's room for both of us.
Are you sure, Aunt Angela?
Well, there always has been. Your mother and I shared many a girlish confidence in this swing. Hung from the porch ceiling then.
It must be kind of nice to have a sister close to your age. I mean, Bobby's older and he's a boy. Jenny's so young.
She looks up to you a lot, Susie.
Is that what you call hanging around underfoot?
Oh, come on.
Using my cologne. You know, it's an awful put-down to have a kid sister who smells just like you do.
You'll live through it, honey.
I've heard that once.
Do you want me to tell you won't live through it?
How's Mom?
Oh, she looked fine. And I saw her just before I left today.
Well, what about the tests?
Well, nobody knows yet. They aren't finished.
What do you think's the matter with her?
I'm not a doctor, darling. I'm a nurse.
But you know, I mean, I'm sure you do. After all, you're her sister.
Yes, but that doesn't make any difference. Doctors and hospitals are very careful about such things. A diagnosis is not made until the doctor has found everything he can. This is not the profession for guesswork.
Hello, everything under control.
Hi, Dr. Foster.
Hi, Susie. Hey, why don't you go over to see Betsy? I think she's alone with a pint of vanilla ice cream in the freezer.
Hey, cool.
Yeah, later. Oh, it's a nice night.
How's Emily?
Sleeping.
Marsh. I'm not Susie.
We just don't know yet, Angela. We've got to do more tests. Some of those cranial plates aren't very clear. We may have to do them over.
Yeah, I love the way you doctors retreat into we in situations like this. It's we this and we that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to know what Dr. Marshall Foster thinks.
No, I'm not the only one involved in Emily's diagnosis.
When you're the only one whose opinion counts, at least that's the way I see it.
I repeat, I don't know yet.
And that's all you're going to say?
I think I'll say, how about fixing me a drink?
All right. You win this one.
Good.
Look, let's go in where the bugs can't find us, and I'll fix you one. Brandy and soda?
Oh, yes, and ice, too, I think, on a night like this. Well, how is part-time babysitting working out?
It's a lot more than babysitting, Marsh.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think you overdo it somewhat?
No, I don't. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, I know.
Why question it, then?
If I had a question, Angela, it would be, why put everyone before yourself?
Look, Marsh, Emily's my sister. What happens to her and her family is more important than the humdrum things that make up my life.
Miss Fairchild, that's a condition you really ought to do something about.
No. No, not now. Not that sound in my head now. Oh, please, God. Where's the call button? If I can just find it before. Oh, where is it? Where can it be? Jason, where are you? Oh, please help me.
To have and to hold has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.